Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, the Bear, Chris Felica from Fox Sports will join us, and we will go over the college football semifinals. The Final Four is here. One game Thursday, one game Friday, NFL playoffs. We'll talk to Bear about all that. Maybe we'll ask him about his Jets. Will they fire Aaron Glenn? The New York Yankees, another team he and I are both a fan of, done very little. So a lot to do with the Bear, but before we get to him, I will give you my thoughts on these two games in one Thursday, one Friday. The thing I love about this Final Four, especially for college football, it's new blood. Oregon hasn't been to this title game in over a decade. They were in it twice in the last 15 years, but they haven't won it. Indiana, obviously new blood, never here. Miami hasn't been here in over two decades. Ole Miss, never here. For a sport that's as repetitive and at times was predictable for years and years, where you go and it's almost like the NBA, where you know the two, three, four teams, who it's going to be. It's very top heavy. It's very, I mean, I use the word predictable because that's the word for it. You know, it's, and you rotate between, all right, it's Alabama, it's Georgia, it's Ohio State, Clemson. You throw in a random LSU year, but the years of the 14 playoff, there was not a lot of variety. It was the same few teams cycling in and out. Now you got some fresh blood. There's some randomness to it. You can cash some long shots from a betting perspective. You can cash some long shots. I mean, look at the odds. I cited the odds, doing the Friday show of the Final Four teams, where Oregon was the short shot of the bunch here. They're 7-8 to 1. But other than that, Ole Miss and Miami 50-60 to 1 in that range, and Indiana was 200 to 1. So if you do your homework, you get lucky, and you could spot a team with long odds. I mean, you can get that ticket at least home or to the point where you're live going into the Final Four in Indiana at 200 to 1, and you're going to be favored the rest of the way. If you had that bet, congratulations. That is one hell of a bet. I remember Kev O'Neill last year gave them out, to make the playoffs, win the Big Ten, and those ended up being really good bets, even though you only got one of them home a year early for being on those, because that's obviously a tremendous number to have right now. And even the week of the playoff, Miami, the week of the selection, I should say, the few days before that, where Miami's 5-6 to 1 to just get in, 200 to win the whole thing. Here they are, not only in the semis, but a 3.5 point dog, where, or a 3.5 point favorite, where you can hedge and you can go for a middle. And if Miami wins the game by three or less, you're in really good shape here. And I'll start with that game because I do think there's some threes, there's some 3.5 out there. I actually think three is the right number. I know Miami is going to be dominant on both offensive line and defensive line. That's why I like them against Ohio State. But the thing is, and this is not going to apply to this game, against Ohio State, Julian Sand, the Ohio State quarterback, sitting duck, not very mobile. And they didn't play fast. And when you're a pass rush, especially a pass rush as good as Miami, you want to know where the quarterback is. You want to just target and be able to tee off and just get to a spot, and you know the quarterback's going to be there. Your pass rushers talk about that all the time. It's not the case with Chambliss. He's athletic. He gets the ball out of his hands quick. He's good under pressure. And Ole Miss is going to run tempo here, I think, and try to tire Miami out, slow them down, make them substitute guys in, make Bane get off the field, make these guys get off the field. So I think those are some concerns for Miami. Plus, from a psychological perspective, nobody expects you to beat A&M. It's a road game. You're an underdog. Nobody expects you to beat the national champion, Ohio State. You're a big underdog. Now there's some expectations. Now everyone expects you to be in the national title game at home in a couple of weeks. How do they deal with that? I think they win. And it's always a cop-out. You say, I think they're going to win, but I think the other team will cover. I'll just call it, Ole Miss plus 3.5 is a bet for me. I could see a scenario where they're down 10 late and they get a back door. I could see tie game. Miami's got the ball. They drive down the field and they kick a field goal as time expires, whatever it is. I think Miami wins the game by a field goal. If this game were on a Saturday afternoon with 100 other games on, would you be dying to bet Ole Miss plus 3.5? No, but I just thought, look ahead line. Miami was a small favorite, 1, 1.5, 2. I thought that was a little light because I thought if Miami beats Ohio State, they're going to get updated. But you got to upgrade Ole Miss too, who really handled Georgia. When you can give up a defensive touchdown, meaning Ole Miss fumbled, Georgia ran it back for a touchdown, that's a huge swing, and you're able to overcome that and still win the game. You were the better team, and they were the better team than Georgia. One other thing to factor in with this handicap, this does go against Ole Miss, the fact that this coaching staff is splintered. Some of these guys are going to LSU. Some are staying. They're trying to do two jobs at once. They have one less day of prep than Miami. I don't think that's a good thing for Ole Miss. Eventually, that might catch up to them. But I will call it 27-24 Miami. I will take Ole Miss plus the 3.5, though. Ole Miss is the play for me at 3.5. even if it's minus 120, there are still some 3.5s out there. So Ole Miss plus the points, and I like Oregon plus the points too. That line has come down. People are betting Oregon. Went from 4.5 to 3.5, which I think, all right, 4 is not a key number, but we've seen it before. It was BYU-Georgia Tech game where that was 4.5 for a while, 5, and then close 3, 3.5. I think mostly close 3.5, and it landed on 4. So you want every half point you can get. I like Oregon. Some of the film guys will say that Indiana really good defensively and really complex with what they run. And once you've when you're seeing them for the first time, it's really tough to deal with. Dante Moore, the Oregon quarterback, really struggled. He threw a pick six, and they only scored 13 points on offense when they met in the regular season. That being said, he's seen them before. Maybe you come out and you run the ball a little bit more. Oregon, I think, banged up with their skill guys middle of the year. Now there's some concern that the Oregon, one of the running backs is in the portal. Another running back might be dealing with a broken collarbone. That news is breaking as we're recording this. But I think Oregon here is up for the task. I think I could see both these games being field goal games. I'm gonna pick Oregon to win the game. I'm going to take them plus the 3.5. So I like both dogs plus the points here. Oregon plus the 3.5. Ole Miss plus the 3.5 as well. But I don't think, I got a feeling Miami figures out a way to win the game. But I do think, you know, 3 is probably the right number, and I do think you're getting some value there with that half a point. As far as the NFL playoffs, and boy, what a 5 days. I talked about this the other day. What a 5-day stretch this is. Thursday night playoff game with Miami and Ole Miss. Friday night, Indiana, Oregon. And then 2 on Saturday, 3 on Sunday, and then 1 on Monday. I wish they would just do 3 and 3. I wish they would just do the 3 games on Saturday, the 3 on Sunday. The first year, the new format, they did that. And it was actually Colts-Bills when Rivers played the playoff game for the Colts was the first one, and then they played a couple after, then they played 3 on Sunday. It's just a weird feel to have that Monday night playoff game. I wish they would do 3 and 3, but obviously not the case. I was wondering, I'll talk to Bear about this too. I wonder, is this a year where it's almost like the Major League Baseball playoffs in past years where it's so random, anything can happen, that you just go for the longest shots possible? Now, I'll throw Carolina out. They're not going to the Super Bowl. They're a throwaway. I would even throw away Pittsburgh, even though I know they do get the home game. Could you just take a long shot? What's the most realistic long shot you could see getting there? Chargers are 13-1 to win the AFC. I'm terrified of that offensive line. I think even though the path is not that overwhelming, that offensive line, it's hard to see them winning 4 games and winning the Super Bowl, but in a wide open AFC at 13-1, that's not the worst price. And how about Green Bay at 12-1? If those two teams, those are your two 7 seeds, you're going to have to win them all on the road. 181-1 at DraftKings. 6 road games, a 16 parlay, we're all on the road. Is that enough? If you got just a bonus bet, a free bet, if you're looking to bet a little to win a lot, I don't think that's the worst. Just because I don't mind that Charger path. They get a New England team who can't really take advantage of their weakness. New England 26th in the league in sacks. Not good defensively. And 26th in the league in sacks when they're winning a lot in pass-happy, you know, situations. So could that be, Chargers, Packers, is that worth it? You're talking 181-1, so you don't have to put too much on it to get some entertainment. I have no feel yet for the Super Bowl. I mean, I think the Rams are the best team, and they should get by Carolina, you would think. They're not going to lose to them twice in a couple months here. And then you're back to square one where – yeah, they're not afraid to go to Seattle. They're not afraid to go any of these teams' place. But the Rams have not played great here. So I would say, you know what, if you have a hunch on a couple teams, take a couple you like. That's one that, at least from a price standpoint, jumped out to me. Chargers and Packers at 181-1. But looking at FanDuel, it's 104-1. 181-1. It's just, for as wide open as this thing is, and in round one, what, you're a 3.5-point dog, 3-point dog with the Chargers. You're a pick 'em with Packers and Bears. Pick your two teams, but take a shot. I'd be surprised if San Francisco won. I think Philly at home will be tough. I'd be very surprised if Carolina won. So it's not completely wide open. I don't think San Francisco with that defense can really win 3 games and probably all on the road. Like I said, Carolina throw out. Steelers throw out. But could the Texans be live? Rams, Eagles. I think the Bears is probably a stretch, even though they're the 2 seed. I don't know that they're going to win 4 games and hold up the trophy. But it should be fun. It's absolutely as wide open as it gets, which does make it a lot of fun. So I'll have NFL picks, give you a thought or two on every game on Friday. We'll obviously break those games down in depth. We'll preview Indiana-Oregon by the time we talk on Friday. We'll be down to three teams in college football. It will be Oregon, it will be Indiana, and we'll either be Miami or Ole Miss. We'll see what Bear thinks. That's next. This Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, Should Have Bet More podcast. We are back, and he is back. He is the Bear. He is, I think, in a good mood. He's two wins away from a championship. Bear, Fox Sports, Bear Bets podcast. What's going on, man? How are you?
Nervous, scared, you know, scared shitless out of this game. I think I can say it on the pod, right? I'm allowed to say a little word here. Perfect. Yeah, no, this game worries me quite a bit. I'm far more concerned about this game than I was the Ohio State game now, just because of being favored and the ability of Trinity Chambliss to kind of improvise and do a bunch of things that Julian Sand wasn't capable of doing.
I'm with you. We'll get to that game. Have you come down from the high of New Year's Eve yet?
Yeah, I have. It was awesome. It was not unexpected, or it wasn't a shock to me. So I guess that's why I'm kind of a little more reserved and level-headed. But again, the last week it was an awesome win. The script to what we thought was going to happen in the game, what we talked about, was well played out. Ohio State couldn't block them. Miami's offensive and defensive lines were better. Quarterback made all the throws that he needed to do. They took Malachi Toney away, and C.J. Daniels and Keelan Marion and a bunch of other guys on the offense made big plays, and everything that needed to happen happened. So, talked about before early in the year, it was who's the better team in the country, who's the best team in the country, Miami or Ohio State, and I think it played out to Miami realizing that potential to not only being what they were earlier in the year, but if you listen to Mario Cristobal, he's been telling anybody who would listen that they're better now than they were when they were ranked second in the year. So it was an awesome win. I think it did take till about 3:30 in the morning until the texts finally started dying down and my body ultimately crashed before a long New Year's Day. But yeah, it was an awesome win. And that's all of that is what I'm getting at with why I'm more concerned about this game. Because now you are expected to win. You had the physical game against A&M. You had the physical game against Ohio State. Now you got this game with an Ole Miss team who, frankly, they're playing with house money. I don't even think Lane Kiffin thought they would be here, because if he did, he probably still would be the head coach today. So you got Chambliss who can create. They won their big game last week against Georgia. Now they got the plucky underdog story, and crazier things have happened. So I'm confident that if Miami and Ole Miss both play their best games, Miami will win, but still would be lying if I said I wasn't worried.
Yeah, and I thought Miami was going to beat Ohio State. I was really confident, like you. But that being said, like we probably needed the pick six. You needed to score on defense, or at least create a score. Now they gave away points with the fumble early on, but that they got what they needed with the defense helping out. Was there ever a moment before we move to this game and to more of the specifics? Was there ever a moment, because my confidence did wane? I think when it was 17-14 and Ohio State got the ball back, I kept having to remind myself that Miami was up three. It felt like Miami was losing because they just missed so many opportunities. Yep. They had the drive where a chance to go up 21-0. They had, I thought, the ridiculous overturn on the Beck first down. It felt like, man, this one's going to sting. They should be up 21-0, 24-0. And before you know it, Ohio State's going to have a lead. Did you have a similar feeling, or did you stay strong?
No, I felt pretty good. Did I know what was going to happen? No, but I just had faith in that defense that they were going to figure it out. They were going to make some adjustments and ultimately get the stop that they needed. And they did. That defense is so good. And that final drive of the game that you alluded to when Ohio State had the ball up 17-14, the second down play where Jacoby Thomas came down and took the underneath route to Jeremiah Smith away and allowed Lightfoot and that defensive line to get that sack, make it third and 20 or whatever the hell it was, got them off the field, then they ran the clock out essentially. So, yeah, I have a ton of confidence in this team. And I think the Mario Cristobal can't coach and can't win a big game detractor, I think that needs to calm down a little bit, because he's done pretty good here this year.
All right, let's get to this game. My concerns here, Sane was a sitting duck. He couldn't escape the pass rush. That's not going to be the case with Chambliss. Ohio State played slow. Ole Miss is going to play fast. They're going to wear out the defensive line. Chambliss is good under pressure. He gets the ball out of his hands quick. So I'm worried that can neutralize what is the strength of Miami. What I'll ask it this way. What do you think about this game? What would you make the line? If you're the bookmaker, what would you make this line? Because I actually think three is probably the right number. Anything north of three, that 3.5, I think is a take with Ole Miss, and we've seen it bounce around. But what would you make this number?
I would probably make it higher, if I'm being completely honest with you. I might make it 4, 4.5. Like, I think if you look at a lot of the computer power ratings and such, I think if you look at the situation that Ole Miss is dealing with off the field with their coaching staff, I think there's every reason in the world to make it higher. The fact that it's north of three in most places, I think gives me a little bit of breathing room as a Miami backer. The fact that Ole Miss feels like a little bit of a trendy underdog here, which is fine. Doesn't mean they can't win, but it feels like the majority of the bettors and the reactions to this game has been kind of what we're talking about with Chambliss and his ability to create. I just don't know ultimately if Ole Miss can stop Miami's running game and stop their offense. I think the game is going to be decided, I think, on that side of the ball. People are kind of alluding to, oh, Miami lost to SMU and Kevin Jennings is kind of the same as Trinity Chambliss. Miami had the ball for 37.5 minutes in that game against SMU. They dominated the time of possession. What did Miami in was the fact that they had a ridiculously late call personal foul penalty on a play that would have ended the game, and they had 12 or 13 penalties in that game. One thing that may not be noticed nationally by bettors and college football fans, but one thing that has been noticed by a lot of my Miami friends, alums, people within the big Miami chat that I'm a part of, the fact that Miami has gotten out of ACC play and are no longer involved in games being officiated by ACC officials. If you look at the Miami penalty totals in those games, they were ridiculous. It was almost like the ACC refs were just looking for any reason to throw a flag. And you look at the A&M game, you look at the Ohio State game, they have been relatively flag-free. So the officials are allowing these teams to play, and the way Miami likes to just dominate up front, line of scrimmage, bully ball, block, hard hitting, it's been a good thing for the Canes. And we'll be curious to see if that officiating is the same thing on Thursday night in Tempe.
Or what's the final score? What's the final score Thursday night?
How about 28-17. How about that? I think it's a relatively comfortable win.
Miami.
Yeah. Every time I come to the point where I'm scared to death about this game and I'm worried about Chambliss, I have to bring myself back down to earth a little bit and I look at one-score game against an Arkansas team that didn't win a game in the SEC. One-score game against Kentucky. Field goal win, one score game most of the game against Wazoo. Down in the fourth quarter at home to Florida. Like, a lot of things there, man. Like, field goal, one score game against LSU. Like, a lot of close games early on. And maybe that built character and built resolve throughout the course of the year and has made them the team they are now. But Miami plays their best game. Ole Miss plays their best game. Miami wins. And everything that I hear from within Miami and how they are realizing that unfinished business. They're not resting on the fact that they're taking a deep breath after they beat Ohio State. Like, if you would have told Mario Cristobal or anybody within the Hecht Athletic Center back in August, yeah, you know what? You're going to have one game against Ole Miss that you got to win to play on your home field to win the national, or to play for a national championship. To a man, they would have taken that. So they're in a great spot, and hopefully they can go out and capitalize.
Do you take anything from the fact that Miami gets an extra day, this Ole Miss coaching staff, maybe a little, you know, 1 foot in, 1 foot out. They got guys going to LSU. Some are staying. It's a little bit splintered. There's a little bit of a brain drain. Does that factor into your handicap?
Yes, it does. It factors in from the latter part, from what you were saying. It's more of, I think, a restriction and a negative for Ole Miss. The fact that they have all this stuff going on with Weiss and Kevin Smith flying back and forth between Baton Rouge and Oxford, and then ultimately out to Glendale. Portal, we have to worry about keeping Lacey. Well, let's try and sign Trinity Chambliss for next year, if he can even come back next year. It seems like all of the talk surrounding Ole Miss has been off the field with the coaches and the portal and all of that. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe the fact that that's being talked about and the game isn't, maybe that takes a little bit of pressure off of Ole Miss. But don't you ultimately think at some point it has to matter? Like, what happens when Shannon Dawson and Corey Heatherman have a different tweak or a different twist, and you don't have some guys on that staff that you're used to, and you've got a grad assistant or someone in there, or for the first time, like in the heat of the battle, like that has to matter at some point, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would think at some point it does catch up to him. How about the other game here, Oregon, Indiana? I guess if you're making, and it's hard to bet against Indiana after what we saw on New Year's Day, but if you're making the case for Oregon, I know a lot of the film guys will say Indiana, what they do defensively is very complex. Oregon only put up 13 points on offense at home, but maybe a little healthier this time around, Oregon, with their skill guys. And having seen that defense once, maybe you're a little more comfortable. We know it can be tough to beat these teams twice. Look at Ohio State, Oregon last year. Look at Ole Miss and Georgia just a week ago. What are you looking at this game, and is there any way you're leaning?
Everything all of us kind of know that was a dominant performance by Indiana in the Rose Bowl, the way they just completely embarrassed Alabama. And they deserve everything. And this is the trouble that you have with Indiana, because people like me, others out there, it always seems like there's been a yeah, but in the last couple of years with Indiana. But in regards to that Rose Bowl, like the yeah, but is like what we talked about with Alabama leading up to the game. Leading up to the Rose Bowl. I pause because I'm sure you're reading texts that are coming in at the same time I have. So we'll see what happens. But I would think that Oregon, having maybe had that game, and I'm stumbling now because of I make that mistake way too often. Like, you see the text come in the upper part of the screen. But I think if you look at Oregon, what they did in the first game, they had success running the ball with their running backs, and it was a lot of the sack yardage that got taken away. If maybe Will Stein can stick to running the ball, I think maybe that will be a good thing. We'll see what happens there. And the yeah, but, which what I was getting at with Alabama was, like, Florida State did that to Alabama. A lot of teams embarrassed Alabama this year. It made them look bad. This is not the same Alabama that we are used to. So we'll see what happens. The best thing I can say about Indiana, and I don't want it to sound like a slight, Indiana doesn't do dumb shit. They have the highest third down conversions in the country. They have like the second or third best third down defense in the country. They have the best turnover margin in the country, and they've only turned the ball over 8 times. Second fewest penalty yards per game in the country. I think it was Bob Knight said it. Nick Saban has said it. Bad loses more than good wins. And Indiana, their ability to just keep drives going, get you off the field, not turn the ball over, and do dumb stuff with penalties, putting them behind schedule, just goes to show a great coaching job by Sigdetti. I bet Oregon in the first game laying 7.5. So now it on the adjustment, what's that, like a 7 or an 8 point adjustment probably from the first meeting. Like, has Oregon done enough to like make you think that that should be that much of a correction or adjustment? I don't know. I'd lean towards taking Oregon here plus the points.
What's the final score prediction?
Low scoring. There was a prop on DraftKings where neither team to score 30 points. That was something that I liked. Will either team score 30 points? The no was, I think, minus 120. Like, it's even a look. It took Dante Moore throwing a couple picks to get Indiana to 30 points in the fourth quarter. It feels like a 27-23 type of game, mid to upper 20s. With both teams close. I can't see this game getting away from either side.
You ultimately going with Oregon to win the game or not necessarily?
Yeah, I will. No, knowing what we know right now, I will go with Oregon to win the game and get revenge on the regular season meeting. Don't you think too? If you're the loser from the regular season meeting, there are more things that you could potentially pick up on.
Sure.
And feel like you're going to improve and make an adjustment here or there. Whereas if you're the team that won, you probably feel like, okay, you played probably your best game, and now you're looking at things to potentially maybe tweak and change, knowing that the other team's going to make some adjustments. But I don't know. I'd feel better if I were the team that lost, and now you get a chance for a little bit of chance of revenge and doing some things differently.
And you made this point when the selection came out. And by the way, you suggested Miami, Oregon in the title game, which we're getting close. We're getting close. We're not quite there yet, but we're getting close. Indiana feels a little, I mean, the same thing as Oregon last year, where Oregon last year went undefeated, won a Big Ten, and then lost to a team they'd already beaten in the regular season. That would be Indiana to a T if they lose this game to Oregon.
And at the same time, it's also, I thought you were going to ask me, and I think it was Jeff that asked us on Bear Bets a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember if you were on that show or not, but he said, are we kind of underrating Indiana a little bit here and not maybe giving them as much? And I said, yeah, we are. And I'm probably guilty of it again here, pick at Oregon to win the game, knowing that Indiana completely – you mentioned the Oregon health. Like, Daly not being there for Indiana this time could be an issue, and Wyatt had a massive game at Autzen early in the year, and he is not there. So we'll see what type of adjustments both teams can make. So should be a close-ish type game, and hopefully I will be watching it with interest to see who the Canes will be playing in the national title game, if Miami can get out of that danger trap against Ole Miss.
Before we get to some NFL stuff, one-word answer. Who holds up the trophy here in a couple weeks?
You're going to make me say Miami, right?
I'm not going to make you say anything. Say what you want.
I think it is Miami.
Okay.
I honestly do. And that's not alumni rose-colored glasses. I think if all four teams play their best games, I think Miami has the best combination of players and an ability to win a game in a variety of different ways. I think Miami is going to win it.
What's your favorite NFL playoff bet?
I haven't made one yet. I would probably lean towards the under in Philadelphia and New Orleans. I don't know how...
San Francisco, you mean?
New Orleans, Philadelphia, New Orleans. San Francisco, yeah, exactly. Thank you. Forgive me for...
It's your birthday day. You're getting old. I mean, let's just face it.
I am getting old, believe me.
Yeah.
But yes, how do the Niners, like, move the ball as easily on them? They couldn't move the ball. I know Williams didn't play, but go travel on East now. Like, Philly's defense is still really good. Like, it feels, and again, same thing on the flip side. It hurts, and that offense going to be able to do a ton. I know the Niners' defense isn't great, but you saw that Seahawks team only put up 13, whatever the hell it was. This feels like a dead under game. Like, this could be like a 19-7 type game or 19-13, really ugly looking final score. But wouldn't be surprised if the Eagles wind up getting back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and Purdy, I mean, I'm a Purdy fan. I've always been a Purdy, you know, defender, believer. He has struggled. Not that it's going to be – it doesn't look like it's going to be terrible weather on Sunday, but when it's a little rain or cold, like, he's one of these quarterbacks. He doesn't have big hands. He's not a big guy. He's not just immune to shaky weather, and that's a tough place to play. So I would think that's another reason to like Philly, another reason to like the under. As far as the Super Bowl, you mentioned you think Philly could get back there. Is this one of these years where you just treat it like Major League Baseball, where you just take two longest shots? I'm not going to go Pittsburgh. I'm not going to go Carolina, but I don't know. I mean, I worry about the Chargers' offensive line, but a Chargers-Packers exact is like 170-1. Do you just swing for the fences? Do you have anyone you like in terms of coming out of the either conference?
Like, I think it's either Rams or Eagles in the NFC. I think it'll be one of those two teams, and then like. It's such an indictment on these one seeds. Like the Rams, if they go to Seattle, they're probably going to be a small favorite in the game. They had the game won a couple weeks back. Like Denver, like who's going to be scared to go to Denver? I mean, that they couldn't score an offensive touchdown against a Chargers team that wasn't even trying, and with home field on the line. So I don't know if Jacksonville I've liked, but it seems like they are getting super trendy in recent days, which does worry me because I have some nice numbers on Jacksonville. Maybe it is Buffalo's year. Houston, I just worry about their offense from time, but it feels like the Jacksonville Buffalo winner versus either the Rams or the Eagles.
Are the Jets going to fire Glenn? It feels like it probably would have happened by now. Are they going to keep him?
No, they're not going to. Like, I don't know why you haven't. I mean, maybe you just made a – you told him when they traded Quinnen Williams and they traded Sauce Gardner and they made all those roster moves that we're going to make these moves for the future. You are not going to lose your job. Don't worry. We know it's going to be an absolutely repulsive, disgusting product that we're going to put on the field. But I've watched Jets football for a long, long time. And whether it was Rich Kotite, Adam Gase, Mr. Clean, Todd Bowles, whomever, that was the biggest quit, no effort run that I've ever seen. Like, that's a disturbing thing to me. Like, they just absolutely licked the stamp and mailed it in and didn't play for their coach. To lose five games in a row, whatever it was, to end the year by at least 23 points, it was just a total embarrassment. And if there was ever a poster child, a picture of what a one-and-done should look like, it was that. But now you've got four picks in the top 44, and we'll see what they can make happen in the draft. The worst thing I think that could happen would be taking a quarterback number two overall. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, before they licked the stamp, though, they were make sure, because I took some long shots on Atlanta, like 110-1 right around Thanksgiving, and they made sure to sabotage that before they mailed it in. Unbelievable.
Just think, that cost the Jets the number one pick in the draft, which might be a blessing when you look at it, because it'll force their hand maybe to look elsewhere than a quarterback, and it cost the Falcons the division title.
Who would you pick if you're the GM and you had reasonable options available, and you could just, hey, whoever you want, who would your pick be?
Well, Jeff Schwartz, Oregon alum, was pretty dialed in there. He gets the sense that Dante Moore is going to come back.
Wow.
And he's only 20. He's really young.
Right.
And to put him in that cesspool of an organization in New York, that seems like a recipe for disaster. I would obviously take a long look at Ruben Bain. I would take a look at Arvel Reese. I would take a look at Caleb Downs. I think all of those guys are impact players. And then if you want to take a quarterback in the second round, you've got, pick 33 and 40. Like, that's the other big thing, too, with the Jets. They now hold that first pick of the second round.
Yeah.
So they can now make the pick of a player they want or trade back a few spots and pick up a couple more picks. That is like the most valuable pick to have in the NFL draft, knowing that you're on the clock, first round ends, teams reset their boards, you're fielding phone calls left and right. So 33 could turn into like 36, 60, and whatever else. So they just have to make – that's been the issue with the Jets. They just have to make good picks now, which they haven't necessarily done the best.
How would you evaluate the Yankees offseason?
Oh, they're in the mix. They're in the mix for Freddie Peralta. I mean – They're in the mix for all these guys. They had an offer out there. Like, seriously, what was the someone talking about? Yeah, they don't see Bo Bichette as a shortstop. Yeah, you have Anthony Volpe as your shortstop right now. Yeah, we might have to move Ryan McMahon. Okay, fine, good. What are they doing?
You see their win total? You see some of the win totals are up now. Did you see their number?
Are they? I did not.
Yeah.
It's probably ridiculously high like it was last year, and we got beat last year.
What do you think? What do you think it is?
The thing is, the top of the rotation has the potential to be really good.
Yes.
If Cole can come back and Rodon, they can be okay. I'm going to say 93.5.
You nailed it. It seems like it's 93.5 every year.
What it was last year.
And they got to 94, right? They won their last like nine games or something. Mm-hmm. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Little old keister shot.
Oh my goodness. Absolutely insane. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't look towards the over though, because it's the same thing we talk about every year where, all right, Judge, if he misses a month, that you're probably not getting there. If the pitching is good, but those pitchers can get hurt very easily, I wouldn't play over. I think that's a win or two too high. I thought it was a win or two too high last year, and it probably, I don't know.
And it was.
Yeah, probably was. It was. Bear, good luck on Thursday. Let everyone know where we can find you.
Yep, Bear Betts. You can find me in Glendale on Wednesday, Thursday, Fiesta Bowl. But yeah, Bear Betts Pod, you know, people know where to find me.
All right, that'll do it. Rate, review, subscribe. Thank you to the Bear, Chris Felica. We'll be back on Friday. Enjoy the game. See you then.